There's a possibility that I might make somebody mad today too. So, sorry, I didn't write it. Okay, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that you've given me the words this morning to speak, that they're not my words, but they're yours. I just honor you this day with everything that I have, and I thank you for everyone that's here, that they would take something away today, not because of anything I've done, but what you've done through me. And I thank you for this, and I praise you, and I give you everything in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, it says Isaiah, if you guys should be up here by now, yes, good. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So stop thinking that you've got God figured out. If there's anybody that is thinking that, because we don't. God's word says that many things are absolute. He has many promises. He's promised us many things. But going from hearing the word to understanding it and arriving at what it is that we're praying for is quite a long process. He cares greatly for us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the inner workings of our body, of our mind, our soul. He's completely in love with us. And when there was no chance for us to be in his presence, he found a way for it to happen. And that was Christ coming and giving himself for us. We tend to see things a certain way. You know, if you've got a car, everybody knows probably in this room here, everybody's probably got a car. Everybody pretty much probably knows how to drive a car, anybody that's at driving age. But what happens if your car has a problem? So almost everybody probably has the ability to drive a car, but how many in this room have the ability to work on a car? There's a few of us. But when you take your car to the doctor or mechanic or whatever, and he says, well, your transmission's about to go out. And you're like, well, I don't want to hear that. That's not what I want to hear. I don't like that. Well, okay, you can keep driving it for a little while, but eventually it's not going to go anywhere. And then you're going to come to the realization that, well, all right, this is what I got. And I think that's where a lot of us get to the point where we hear things and we don't want to accept it. But then we get to the point where, okay, I've got to accept it because this is how it is, and I can't change anything at this point right now. And then we go into trying to understand. You know, the word says that God has many promises, life to the full, healing of our body, mind, and emotions, prosperity, wealth. These are not empty promises. We see other people with all these things and we wonder, how do I get there? How do I get that? You know, what do I have to do? I know there's a lot of times we see people and they seem to have it all together, but then we find out that they do not. And, you know, that's just how it goes. But I think that there are still a few out there that earnestly seek God, and they won't tell you that they've got it all together, even though it looks like they do. You know, God knows and they know. And then I wanted him to keep this scripture up there so we can refer to it a couple different times throughout, because we get into a certain mindset, you know, about the way things should be. And sometimes things work out the way we think they should go, or they might. But more oftentimes than not, they don't. And as the scripture says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. That's one right there that's hard to sometimes deal with. Again, we think that, you know, things should go our way, but oftentimes they don't go our way. And there are things that get in the way of what we think should happen. And, I mean, we all know that God has a plan and that all things work to those who are in Christ Jesus. Work to the good for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sorry, didn't mean to misspeak myself there. Where am I at? Yes, right, thank you. There are so many promises in the Bible. We seem to get flooded with them. You know, God says this, and God says that. And, you know, why doesn't this happen? And why does this happen? Things like that. We tend to think that the thing that we need the most, the thing that hurts us the most, the thing that we struggle with the most, is something that we're not ever going to overcome. But it is able to be overcome. If Todd, you want to bring up Proverbs 3 and 5? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, understanding, there's a couple, I guess, different ways you could take that. I think in this particular instance, lean not on your own feelings. I don't feel like I like this. I don't feel this is good for me. You know, I mean, we tend to grab onto those emotions sometimes and hang on to them and not let them go because it doesn't feel right. Well, the scripture tells us that not to lean on our own understanding. Sometimes the only thing we understand is how we feel. But we need to focus on what the word says. You know, the word says, I call you blessed. The word says that you are whole. The word says that I came to give you life and life to the full. Well, there's a whole sermon that can be preached on that right there. What does life to the full mean? I believe it means nothing missing, nothing broken. You know, we're not sick. We're not struggling with money. We're not struggling with family. You know, I believe it means all those things. I mean, life to the full. Or some, I think some, I've seen some translations that say overflowing. Okay? We're not supposed to live in a broken state. But I think more oftentimes than not, we put ourselves there because we stop God short of what he wants to do. And I'm speaking, trust me, I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to anybody that's listening to me. I struggle with things. We all struggle with things. But I think sometimes more oftentimes than not, it's because we don't give our struggles over to him. So, you know, I have physical ailments, as I'm sure some of us here do. I've been diabetic for, oh, look, I'm 50, so I've been diabetic for 45 years. Pray just as much about it now as I did when I first got saved. Again, this is where I don't understand. You know, I don't feel like I want to be diabetic until the day I die. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be, but I think probably my own understanding of this is not where it should be. And this is, I think this hinges on my faith and what I believe. You know, and I can, and when you bring it to that painfully, you're pointing the finger right at yourself. Painfully. Because I believe that I am in control of these things. I am the key to unlocking what it is that God has for me. Because his promises are yes and amen. What does that mean? That it is done. It is done. I can't make his promises any better than what they already are. But I can make them manifest in my life if I do what his word tells me. So here we go, pointing the finger at myself again, all right? These things are not manifesting in my life because I am not getting as close to God as I need to be. And that's on me and on each one of us who have an issue that we're struggling with. And that's a hard one to chew on. It really is, because we know that God is not the one that's in lack here. He's done it. He's paid for it. It's done. We just have to see it through. We have to believe that it's going to happen. And the scripture says, if you believe and you don't doubt. Oh, that's great. Because most of the time it doesn't happen right away. What it is that you're believing for doesn't happen right away. I've got a couple stories that I can tell, a couple testimonies that were victories in my life. And I guess I don't tell them enough. When I first, not too long after I got saved, I had bad mouth, bad. And I said, Lord, I said, I need help with this, all right? So I would fight with it, struggle with it. It wasn't getting me anywhere. As much as I would try, all these wonderful things would come out of my mouth. Not so wonderful, sorry. That was a bad attempt at a joke, but anyway. So finally I just said, you know what? This has got to be you because it's not me. I'm not going to be able to do this. And slowly things progressed and got better. Now, you know, I'm not an angel by any stretch of the imagination. I still slip up once in a while. I'm only human, you know. But it's not uncontrollable like it was at one point. And when I the time that I knew that God had done a work in me is I was, and as some of you know, I've been a truck mechanic for many years. Now I'm a supervisor, so I don't get my hands too dirty, a little bit once in a while, but not too often. Anyway, I was working on a truck, and I was underneath, and I sat up, and I hit my head so hard on the bottom of the transmission on this truck that, I mean, I had a bump there for a couple days, and all that come out of me was, ouch, that hurt. And I stopped, and I thought, wow, something miraculous just happened here. And it wasn't by anything that I did. And that was, you know, obviously that's been, I don't know, 20 years ago. But the Lord is good, you know. And I've had people tell me, well, guys, especially guys at work, because if you've ever been around truck drivers, I mean, some people say sailors, truck drivers, mechanics, I mean, you're smashing your fingers and, you know, people are walking through the shop and saying all kinds of colorful things. And I don't judge anybody for any of that because that was me. You know, that was me at one point in time. And I can tell people, I'll tell this story to quite a few people, actually, if they listen. But you can sometimes, you can say these things to people, and they don't want to hear it. So you're kind of a lot of times, I don't want to say you're wasting your breath, but, you know, they won't hear it. But the people that'll listen, I'll tell them. You know, because I had one guy say to me, you know, I just want to hear you say F this once or whatever. And I'm like, I said, I don't want to do that. And I'll tell you why I don't want to do that. Because that was such a stronghold on my life. And I gave it to God, and he's taken care of it. Why on earth would I want to bring that back, take that back from him? Because he was able to remove it from me. And it wasn't by anything I did. So that's one story, and that's a praise. And then the other one that I have is, God, I don't even remember what year this was now. The wife might have to help me out on this. Had to be right around, it was before I worked where I work now, so I think Jensen was born, wasn't she? So it was 95, 96, maybe 97 in there. I started having this pain, right, lower right side. And I kind of, it was getting worse, steadily getting worse. I kind of thought, well, it might be appendicitis. So finally I went went to the doctor because it wasn't getting any better. And he said, yep, yeah, it's pretty sure that's what's going on. So he puts me in a hospital. And I didn't want to have surgery. Nobody wants to have surgery, you know. You don't want those things. And I was in the hospital, I think, I don't know, a couple days. Can't remember. No, it was only, I think it was only overnight. So I guess maybe it was a day and a half or so. Put me in the hospital. Surgeon comes in. I said, you know, what are the options here? He's like, well, it could be this, it could be that. He said, I'm about 85% sure you need to have your appendix removed. I'm like, yeah, all right, great. He said, just tell me when. I said, I can have people here in a couple hours. It's not a very long procedure. Get you on the mend, you know, get you heading back home in a day or two or whatever. I said, well, can I wait? And he told, the next day he tells me, he says, well, I'll get to that. Anyway, so I'm praying with a wife, and I talked to a couple, I think Pastor Dale Luth. We were going here at the time. I called Pastor Dale, and I said, you know, I don't really think that I want to have this operation. I don't think God wants me to have this operation. A lot of times they'll tell you that in the appendix you don't need it, but God put it there for a reason. Just because we don't know what it is, what the reason is, you know, if he put it there, it should stay there. That's what I think, you know. So anyway, done a lot of praying, and then the wife went home that night, and I just kind of said, Lord, you know, whatever it is that's in me that's causing me this problem, you put it there. And I said, I don't think that you want somebody to take it out if you put it there. So I said, but if I'm still in pain in the morning when I wake up, then this is what it is, and I'll have the surgery and everything will be fine, you know. So I went to sleep, and I got up in the morning, went to the bathroom, and doesn't seem to hurt as like it did before. And the surgeon came in, and he's checking me out, and he's like, I really expected you to call last night because the pain was so bad that you wanted to have this done. And he's kind of feeling around, and he said, you're not near as tender as you were yesterday. I said, no, yeah, feels a little better. And he said, well, apparently you were right. And he said, we're going to, you know, keep you for some more blood work and give you a little bit to eat. And if you don't have any more issues, we're going to send you home. And that's exactly what happened. And within a week. I had no pain there at all, never had any since. Now, you know, I'm sure that some of you are saying, of course, I've asked myself this question a million times. How is it that I can get healed from appendicitis, but I can't get healed from the other ailments? How come I can get victory there, but I can't get victory here? Well, you got to change it back. Todd, you up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, change it back to Isaiah, would you, please?
There.
I don't know. But I know that at those times in my life that these things were going on, my focus was more on what he wanted for me than what I wanted for me. And maybe that's it. You know, I think that's some of it. I don't know if it's all of it. I have a long way to go. But I think if we look at these scriptures and we understand that we may not understand, does that make any sense to anybody? And that it's okay that we don't understand. We just have to trust him and have faith in him. The one, there's another scripture here that I also want to talk about. It was 1 Peter 5 and 7. Todd, can you bring that one up? Yep, there you go. Thank you. Chapter 5, verse 7. It's cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You need to read that slowly. Because this is such a short verse, but there's so much there. Cares, problems, struggles, you know. And like I said a minute ago, when I focused on what he wanted in these two particular situations, the problem went away. I understand that some problems are bigger than others, you know, but I believe it's our focus and what we are in tune to and what we're supposed to be doing and what the scripture says. You know, if we're focusing on things that are unscriptural, then I don't know if this is the way things are going to go, you know. So if you want to go back to that, Isaiah, again, Todd. And I'm going to read it again. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." If we think about that for a minute, there is great comfort and security in that scripture. Because what he's saying is to trust him. I know we hear that a lot, but that, again, I think we take too lightly. You know, what does it mean to fully trust someone? You know, when we were kids, when one of the things that they would do, like in youth group, is do the trust fall. And they're right, Wesley. Wesley. Did a trust fall with my wife. How old were you? She dropped him. And it's not on purpose. It just happened, you know. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but it's just kind of a funny little story. That is, I think, where we get hung up most of the time. You know, we don't trust who we're supposed to trust. We don't listen to who we're supposed to listen to. We listen to what people say. You know, we get upset about something somebody said or something somebody did, when we should just let the Lord deal with it. You know, don't get hung up on anything anybody says. don't get hung up on anything anybody does. Feelings get hurt. People get upset. Those are small things. I'm not saying these things don't hurt. I'm not saying that, you know, everybody does everything right. You know, I'm not saying that somebody didn't try to deliberately hurt you, which that happens, and it happens all the time. But that is in your control. You know, you can let that stuff hang onto you, or you can cast it off. 1 Peter 5 and 7. These things that plague you like that are not the important things, and they shouldn't be our focus. You know, God tells us where our focus is supposed to be, and it's supposed to be on Him. And forgive me, Lord, because lately my focus probably hasn't been on Him. And that's one thing that putting this thing together, you know, it's an amazing responsibility to stand up here and for me to tell however many people are in this room what I think the Scripture is saying to me. Because it's easy from this spot, if you want to manipulate things. Because you got everybody, all their eyes are up here, all their ears are listening, and it can be done. I've seen people do it. But, oh Lord, I don't want to be standing in front of you on Judgment Day with that on me. And if I am wrong in any of these things that I've said today, forgive me, Father, and I would love to have somebody come and point it out to me. I mean, when I read the Scriptures, I do the best that I can when I'm trying to relay them to other people, and it's from my heart, and I don't mean any malice towards anybody, so sorry if I upset anybody today. But I just thank you for being here today and listening to what I have to say. And I think that we, you know, the focus needs to be on Yahweh, on what He says. He says to give everything to Him and He'll take care of it. Amen. We don't have to hang on to these things. Surrender. We're going to do a song here in a minute. And His will is for us not to be in pain and anguish and hurt, you know, physical ailments. His will is for us to be life and life to the full. And the Scripture says that His words don't come back void. Well, you can say that this is just a bunch of words, but I don't believe it. A word from the Father is a promise to us. You know, a word from Him is a promise to us. And His promises don't come back void. You know, and we just have to grab onto it and not let go. It's hard. Trust me, it's hard. I can definitely tell you I have some experience in that. So anyway, Keith and Holly, if you guys want to come up, we're going to do a song. This didn't last as long as I thought it would. I like that. I like that. Again, I just want to thank everybody for coming here today. I know there's a lot of people that knew Pastor Audie wasn't going to be here, and hopefully that didn't keep them away, but I'm hoping that I was able to relay something to you today, and that God speaks to you, not because of what I've said, but because what He has said. I don't pretend to be the end-all, be-all, or know-it-all, contrary to what the kids will probably tell you. But I love my kids. My mom's here today. Thanks for coming, Mom. I appreciate that. My wife, the kids, these guys are, you know, they're the best that I've got. And I thank them for putting up with me. Some days are better than others. But anyway, we're going to sing another song for you here real quick. And just worship the Lord.